No fluff.
Don't worry about your dick. That's going to come later.
No lies.
I just masturbated.
Just real women.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
Talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
Sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
Now get ready to get real.
Eating pussy. There you have it. Hey everybody, it's Dawn Sarah with Sex Gets Real. I am really excited for our guest today because she not only was part of the Explore More Summit that we had a couple of months ago, but I've been up to New York City and been in her fabulous show, which is also a podcast, which you'll hear about later, and we went to Sex Geek Summer Camp together. So hello to you, Dirty Lola.
Hello.
Hi. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Like, oh my gosh, I can't even tell you.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Everybody's going to fall in love with you because you're so fabulous. So before we jump into talking all kinds of like juicy, yummy sex stuff, I just want to let our listeners know about two super awesome things that are coming up. The first is Victoria Rosa, who was also part of the Explore More Summit. She is an open relationship coach, and she has a free webinar that's coming up on Monday, March 28th. And so by the time you listen to this, you'll just have one day to go check it out. But it's all about how to open up your relationship and feel even closer with your partner. So she'll be talking all about how to open up your relationship. You can ask questions and get coaching on the webinar. There's going to be a link at sexgetsreal.com. So definitely check that out. And then I have been invited to be part of a summit that's called the Love Detox Event, and it's going to start on April 4th. And I am talking all about how learning to love your body actually helps to improve the types of relationships you have in your life and the sex that you have. So it's called the Love Detox Event, and I'm going to have a link to that on Sex Gets Real. And I know, Lola, when I was on your show, we actually talked a lot about like fat bodies and sex and being like all super fierce in our lovely fatness.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Speaking of, have you gotten into any trouble recently? And this is why I wanted you on the show.
So it has been a really, really, really emotional week for me.
Oh.
A month ago, I met an amazing man who, he's so good, it felt like I wished for him.
Oh.
It felt like I rubbed my hand all over OKC and summoned him to because he's kinky and he's a daddy dom, which is something I've been dying for. And he is a geek and he loves Doctor Who, and he's poly with established partners, which I prefer walking into a poly relationship that's established versus people that go, I'm poly, and they don't have any relationships. And you're kind of like, are you really poly? Are you just saying you're poly?
Right.
To like, you know, so we'll go out together for a while. And then it turns out you're not poly.
Mm-hmm.
So already established relationships. And he's local.
Oh.
I've been, right, all those boxes. And he lives in the same borough.
Wow.
I know. He's a bus ride away.
Nice.
No boats, no planes, no trains. A bus.
It's nearby.
It's nearby. So I don't know. I'm one of those people. I'm those poly person. I fall in love easily. But I usually fall in love very guarded.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, oh, yay, I'm here. And then there's always like, but I'm not here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have to be careful. And I totally fell head over heels for him. And he fell head over heels for me, which is not something normally guys don't tell you that stuff. Like, normally you don't hear, they don't admit to you that they really, really like you and that they're already falling for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a part of the reason why it was so easy to fall, because I wasn't spending all my time going, does he like me?
Is it just me? How much does he like me? Does he like me as much as I like him?
Sex? Is he lying about everything? It's been very upfront. But So a lot of stuff was going on with him that I didn't know about, because, of course, we're still new and you don't talk to people about things. And he was disappearing here and there, as we call ghosting.
Yeah.
And so all my alarm bells were going off. But at the same time, I was really worried because it didn't feel right. Like, it didn't match up to the person he was presenting. And that can happen, but it just wasn't right. And this past week, he was gone the whole week with no explanation. And so it turns out there's just a lot of things that's been going on and some stuff I didn't know and some mental issues I didn't know about. And he finally, like, you know, it was a whole conversation of, I didn't want to tell you yet. And I was afraid to tell you. And me not knowing about it beforehand made everything look a certain way.
Yeah.
And so I woke up this morning to the longest text I've ever received from anyone. But it was beautiful. It was an apology. I mean, I've spent the last few days, when I'm heartbroken, and especially a situation like this, I battle with myself about how much to text that person.
Yeah.
But I was so in it that there was just like a daily, like, why? Just tell me why. You know?
Yep. Like,
even just tell me why. I just want to know.
Just give me something.
So I can sleep at night.
That's right.
I just want to sleep again. But it was wonderful. And as soon as I read it, it all clicked into place. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I have the tools. I know how to deal with this stuff.
Yes.
That's what I do. I can do this. So this morning, after a week of being so somber and sad and crying in the streets.
Yep.
I live in, you know, living in New York. That's rough. I'm wearing sunglasses at night so people can't see.
Stay away from that woman. She's crying.
I know. I'm like, oh. But now this morning, I'm like so relieved to at least know what's been going on and to know that I wasn't, that my fears weren't true. Mm-hmm. And also that I was right in trusting my gut that something was wrong and that this wasn't him.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of trouble I've been in.
Well, goodness gracious.
I know. It's been kind of dramatic, but he's worth it. I had a friend say, is he worth all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I think that's so important because I've been in relationships in the past where as soon as that drama started kind of coming up or just like the concerns or the little red flags, there was this like uneasiness in me of, I don't really think this is worth it, but I wasn't really willing to listen to that voice. And then like shit just got bad real fast.
Right.
But there have been other relationships, including the one that I'm in right now, where stuff started to get really tough or things just weren't adding up or like big mistakes were made. But there was just this like deep knowing inside of me that, no, this relationship is worth it. And this person is worth it. And I believe in this. And if we can just like get through this crap, then I know there's something amazing on the other side.
Exactly. And I think that that has a lot to do with having a partner. Anybody, like when you tell them about your worries or your anxiety or anything, and their response isn't to tell you get over it or, you know, that's not me, but more of I understand where you're coming from.
Yes.
I mean, having him say to me even this morning, like one of the things he said was in his text was, you know, I hope. He goes, I don't know if you're going to be okay with coming back. And I don't know if that's like over with or if I've taken it to that point where, you know, you're done. But, you know, I hope I didn't add to your scars. And he's like, and you wear your scars so beautifully.
Oh,
but I hope I haven't added to them. And that was just so I felt seen in that.
Yeah.
That because you don't usually have, I mean, I haven't in my experience had a lot of men partners recognize that the scars are real.
Yep.
And not get angry about them.
Yes.
I've gotten a lot of like, you have baggage, and it's like, yeah, I'm a human.
Right.
And
exactly.
Things happen that you know you hold on to because that's what learning lessons are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't fly wildly into everything and not pay attention to the signs that you learned in the past mean something.
Right.
So yeah, it's having a partner say, I see you and I see I see what you're coming at me with and that I have to work to earn your trust that I'm not going to do that to you.
That is,
has been so helpful.
That's so powerful because I feel like so many people just assume that you're going to trust them because they are nice to you or, you know, they've been great in bed. And so, of course, you should trust me. But I love people who are like, I need to earn your trust. Or you've trusted me and now I've done something that shook that a little bit. And I know that I have to rebuild that conversation and get right. you back to a place where you trust me. And yes. I think that that demonstrates a lot of self-awareness and a lot of emotional intelligence of knowing, like, if you do something that potentially hurts another person or that makes them really uncomfortable, that does kind of like take some marbles out of the marble jar of trust. And so just being able to say, like, I know I need to earn this, I think speaks volumes about at least the level of self-awareness that somebody has.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's, I mean, one of the things I said when I first, like after our first meeting was his consent game was on point.
That was awesome.
And I was so impressed because, you know, this is what we do as yeah. educators. You come in with like mm-hmm. all these extra expectations yep. that other people may not necessarily have words for mm-hmm. or what to call it. And that's one of the things I look for, that constantly being checked in with
yep.
constantly, and not in the annoying way, but in a way that makes you feel comfortable
mm-hmm.
with someone.
Yeah.
That is this okay? I like, have you done this before? And even if you've done it before, you haven't done it with me. So right. is it okay if I'm doing this or touching you this yeah. way? Being able to tell him in our first meeting about, you know, my sexual assault as a young girl and how that's affected me sexually mm-hmm. and have him hug me and not kind of shrink away and
yeah.
Being able to talk about orgasms with him and that I don't come easily and mm-hmm. not have him turn it into a challenge.
Right.
And more of, well, do you want to work on that? And, mm-hmm. and like offer, like, I think I have ways to help you work through that if mm-hmm. you want to do that down the line, and more instead of like, everybody comes with me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. when I get you in bed. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And I also love, like, I love that by you saying that to him and him saying, well, I'd be happy to work on that with you down the road if you'd like to. I like that that didn't come with an assumption, because I think often too what happens is when you have, I think as sex educators, we run into this a lot with people who aren't as sex aware of that. Oftentimes people think when you have a sexual conversation, it means they assume that means you want to have sex with them.
Right.
You know, instead of, no, we're just talking about orgasms. We're just talking about how bodies work. We're talking about my experiences. It's not an invitation unless I'm making an invitation. And so I love that he kind of, it sounds like he said, well, I might have something I can bring to the table if you're interested in it. And instead of like, well, then let's go take care of that now, little lady.
Right. Or the fact, like, I like that it was also not an I can fix you.
Yeah.
It was, if you want to do this, if it's something you want to work on. I mm-hmm. felt like he appreciated the fact that maybe I'm okay where I am.
Yeah.
With my orgasm and the way I orgasm and my body. And that it wasn't a, well, clearly you're broken.
Yeah.
And I have the tools to fix you. It was if you want it, I have a remedy we could try.
I love that. What a roller coaster you've been on.
Yes, but yeah. I kind of feel like that's me.
You're like, I am a wild ride.
If it wasn't difficult, it wouldn't be right.
Yeah, but then you get all these like super juicy stories and experiences. So I do. Yeah, and I also love like so much how you said like we all have baggage, because I think that's a weapon that's used against women particularly a lot mm-hmm. of if you've had abusive relationships or if you've been sexually assaulted or raped or if you've had a number of relationships that didn't work out, it's kind of this like weapon that can be used against you of like, oh, well, she's got baggage, don't get involved with her.
Right.
And I think reframing that instead and saying like, no, it shows that I'm courageous and I like to try things and that I have experiences. And of course I have all these things with me, because every time something happens, I get to learn from that and carry it forward with me so right. that I make different decisions down the road. And to me, like having all that baggage says that you've been traveling the world and trying all these things and experimenting with your sexuality. And I think there's a lot of power in that.
It is. And I don't feel necessarily that having baggage is a bad thing, mm-hmm. which is, I think that gets turned on it gets used as the excuse for why you're doubting things, where sometimes it could just be your gut.
Right.
Like, sometimes it's stuff isn't right. And then if you've admitted that or had that conversation, it can get thrown in your face of, well, you only think that because of all this other stuff. And it's like, well, or maybe not.
Right. Or maybe I'm just right.
Right. Maybe my gut is telling me something's not going right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that also helps us manage our baggage, because there are bags I want to put down.
Right.
That maybe I haven't been able to because of things that have happened. And finding that person that can help you put that down is amazing.
It really is. It is amazing. And I think, too, also with experience, we get better at noticing those gut reactions and those red flags. Because I think, at least in my experience, I've had the tendency to ignore red flags as they come up when I'm in new situations, when I'm not really sure of myself, when I'm not feeling really confident. I kind of ignore those red flags because I just want the thing so badly. And I feel like as you get experience and as you start trusting yourself more and as you start feeling more confident and realizing there's someone else out there if this person isn't a good fit. So having more of that abundance mentality instead of that scarcity mentality, I feel like when those red flags come up or that those like little gut feelings, we're more likely to pay attention to them. And I think that's a powerful thing too.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And it's a battle. I mean, I leaned on my wonderful femme friends a lot this week because sometimes I don't trust. Like with me, it's, is this my gut or is it fear?
Yeah.
Is it, I don't know. Is this an overreaction? And instead of being in my head about it, it really helped to kind of lay it out with people and go, here's the scenario. Would it be an overreaction if I did this?
Yeah.
Am I overreacting? Because sometimes I don't know. I mean, I am in a place where sometimes my emotions, I'm triggered. It really, like this week was a big trigger. I've had a daddy dom in the past totally abandoned me. This month with him has been a lot of when I don't share my little with many people. And so letting that out with someone is a huge thing. And then having this kind of depth of a type of relationship and how deep it is already is hard enough alone without having things feel like it's history is repeating itself. So I was completely triggered this week. I didn't even trust my judgment this week. So having friends that I could talk to and have them say, breathe.
Let's start there.
And your feelings are valid.
Yes.
And maybe these are the steps. Or frame it this way. I mean, I was given some really great scripts this week to kind of use so that it put, while I'm writing, it put my emotions in check and didn't let me sail off into this whole, you know, emotional boat ride.
Yep.
That can happen when you're that wound up.
Yep.
And that made it helpful because when he did come back or something had happened and he would let me know, he wasn't coming back to this venom and anger. It was more worry and I'm letting you know where I am right now. So when you talk to me, realize I am in a state of full on anxiety.
Yeah.
Which was so helpful as well. That was great. So
yeah.
I think I picked up a lot of things this week.
Well, and just yay for friends who validate your feelings and who give you space to be messy and anxious and concerned and not having to like put on that mask or that face and just be like, I'm a wreck.
Right.
And here's all the things I'm feeling and like, just give me some space. And for people to be able to say, yep, I gotcha. Here's some space. Your feelings are good. Let's breathe.
Right. And validate without agitating.
Yeah.
Because I think we all get caught up in that girlfriend thing where you're like, girlfriend,
You are better than that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not always helpful because the scheme of things falls out is when you do that, you're also making yourself you're putting yourself in a place of anger.
Yeah.
That then when things are okay, you're still angry.
Yeah.
You're angry for your friend because and because you're not then going through the whole makeup stage or whatever. You're just holding on to all the anxiety that your friend had. So it's kind of nice to have people who can do that a little bit, but also you're going to be okay, girl, and see what, you know, breathe.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, or, and even I got, because I did, I ended up sending a text of, I feel like you don't have time for me. I don't know what's going on, but I'm here and I love you. And when you have time for me, I'm like, come back, please.
Mm-hmm.
But having someone say, I'm proud of you for doing that, for drawing your boundary. And I think that made me feel so much better that day, that I didn't feel like I was making this crazy, rash decision.
Mm-hmm.
And to have somebody go, I'm proud of you for drawing your boundaries and for being level-headed.
Yeah, and for being vulnerable. You know, I think there's a lot of courage in saying, like, here's how I'm feeling and it's kind of scaring me, but here's what I would like. And then, you know, okay, I've put myself out there.
Right, exactly.
So for our listeners who don't know, because you've mentioned daddy and little a few times, and I'm not sure all of our listeners know what that is. So I would love for you to tell everybody kind of what that means for you and how you experience it.
Okay. So
I'm all like, ooh.
So there is a dynamic within BDSM. So daddy, little girl, or mommy, little boy, or mommy, little girl, or daddy, little boy dynamic. And that can range. That's a huge umbrella. So for me, being a little, my little self is usually a non-sexual thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I really enjoy cartoons and toys and coloring, and I feel very at peace when I can let that small side of myself out. I love stuffed animals. I usually travel with one. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see Bitty Bunny all the time on the airplane. Yes. But those are, it's like all those things from childhood that I find comforting and make me happy and give me peace. There are people who do a full-blown role play with daddy, little girl. I don't always feel comfortable doing that because my little – also, littles can be different ages. Like, I have a friend. She's a teenager.
Oh.
I'm not a teenager. I fluctuate between, I'd say, like, 5 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. But I'm usually, like, small when I am feeling little. Mm-hmm. And so I don't always do – I don't do role play. Mm-hmm. But I do, like, a dom who can be – I call it that gentle roughness.
Yeah.
That firmness.
Yeah.
But also very sweet and caring and loving and lots of hugs and cuddles and things like that. So when it is sex, I still call him daddy because I just like saying it, but we're not usually like in a whole full-blown role play. But that's, so that's for me. It's just my dynamic. It's still a submissive dom type dynamic. It's just a little more skewed. It's less punishing, more
nurturing. Yes, because it can go that way.
Stuff, right. And I do like the punishing thing, too.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah. So that's fun.
Lots of fun.
Yeah. And, I think one of the things that I just really love about just BDSM in general is that it's an opportunity to get to play with the different facets of yourself in a way that feels really good. You don't have to do it like anybody else.
Right.
You know, so you don't have to... You know, I think oftentimes people assume that any kind of BDSM includes sex. And it kind of the opposite is true, in fact, in my experience, and that a lot of people just like being flogged because that's a physical outlet and it's not necessarily a sexual experience or being whipped, or they like role playing different sides of themselves so that they can explore those facets and still kind of be within this really interesting power dynamic. And so, yeah, I love that you have this space and someone that you can play in those roles with and that you get to be your, like, fun little self coloring and cuddling with your stuffed animal and stuff. That's awesome.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready for some listener questions?
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, the first one is about toys. Which I knew you would totally be down with. We got an email from someone who I think it's Illy Smiley. I think that's how they wrote their name. But it says, to vibe or not to vibe. First of all, I love the show and I'm really sad to see Dylan leave. I know, I'm sad too. But anyway, down to the question. So my girlfriend and I are starting to experiment with toys, and she wants to use her vibrator on me, but I've never used one. Is there something I could do to prepare myself for it? Thanks, love from the South. So I don't know the gender of this person or the body parts of this person because they didn't really indicate that. But this person's girlfriend would like to start experimenting with toys, and they're looking for advice on how to use toys and what's it like and how do I prepare for it. Can I just tell you, I used a new toy last night that almost broke me.
Oh, no. In a good way? You're like, I don't know how I'm going to turn this off.
Well, I'll say that at some point I was just sobbing and couldn't use words. And Alex was like, maybe we should stop.
That still sounds kind of fun, though.
Yeah, it actually was. Yeah, we got a new attachment for my Hitachi wand. Ooh. That's a dual stem, so it has an internal part and a clip part, and then he tied the wand into me. So he put the attachment in, turned it on, and then tied it to me so that no matter how I moved, I couldn't get it out.
Right.
And it was really intense, and I was tied too, so I couldn't use my hands or my legs. And he just was like sitting back, sipping tea, watching me struggle. And then when the orgasm hit and I couldn't get the toy out, it was just like so overwhelming and intense. And I was kind of loving it. And then the tears started. And then I was pretty much a blubbering mess for like an hour. So that's more varsity level toy play.
Right, exactly. That's not beginner.
No. So what are your thoughts being someone who works at a feminist sex positive toy shop and who helps people pick out toys and talks about toys all the time? Kind of what's some just generic advice for people who are interested in starting with toys and getting prepared for trying that?
I think a really great way to start is to take field trips if you can, and even if that has to be digital.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of go through different shops online, if you can go to brick and mortar, if you're living in an area where they're like, if you're in New York, there's an abundance of brick and mortar. You throw a rock and you hit a sex shop. But to explore a little, because one, it'll help you appreciate quality and different types of toys. Because a lot of people automatically, when you start looking at the prices of sex toys, they can scare you a little bit. And I think that everyone's, you know, they kind of just revert to, well, I want like the cheapest thing. And that's not always the greatest.
Yeah.
There are some things that are cheap and that are fine and they're going to be body safe and they're not going to harm you. And it's okay to like start out that way. Mm-hmm. But there are things that you just need to be careful, like for phthalates and materials and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I love the idea of taking a field trip. One, so you can see what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask questions if you're at a brick and mortar. If you're online, you can see the vast abundance of things and kind of make notes and write things down. I get so many people who come in with either they've printed stuff out from online or they come in with their phone filled with pictures of like they've taken screenshots of websites and they're like, oh, do you have this or anything like it? Or they're looking to, because they want to touch it and see it and you can't do that online. So they'll find things and then they'll come in to see if we have them so they can actually pick them up and hold them and whatnot. And I think that's a really important step, especially if you've never used a toy before, because it can be very overwhelming.
Yeah.
To walk in and see everything. But I think also, once you do that, also realizing you can start very small.
Yep.
You can buy one of those super cheap little crap bullets that are really mint, you know, the ones that are like $12.
Right. Just to see if you like it.
Right. I mean, the ones that you would like stick into a toy, like a dildo that you can make vibrate or a harness or something. But to see if you like it, because it may be too weak and you've only spent $12 finding that out. Or it may be a lot for you. And you've only spent $12 figuring that out, but it might give you a good gauge of where to start. I like those egg. What are they called? The ones with the remote.
Oh,
and it's got the wire.
Yeah.
Is that, what are they called? Is that a remote egg or a remote bullet?
Yeah, I would say a remote bullet.
Remote bullet.
Yeah.
They're so like, now at where I am in my toy buying, I look back at those and that was like one of my first part of my first toy collection was one of those things. But they were great.
Yeah.
Because I realized when I hate toys that have cords that are linked to a remote.
Yep.
Two, that I hate things with batteries.
Yeah.
Because it was always dying. But also, I knew I liked the intensity. So, you know, when you put those fresh batteries in, battery toys always are like at their ultimate power.
Yep. Right when you get the fresh batteries.
Right. So knowing, like, I like this kind of intensity because as the batteries die, I'm not getting the intensity I need.
Yeah.
And I wasn't enjoying it much or, as much, or it would take me a little bit longer to reach orgasm. But those are really great because they're so cheap. And if they break, they break. And you go buy another one. You get like a, another one. They're like $10 sometimes. Yeah. Some places even give them away for free. I know like Pleasure Chest and Babeland, when they do certain events, if they're giving away a goodie bag, there's always one of those things in there.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So there, things like that are great because it's not a permanent toy. It's something that's meant to break and and for you to throw it away and not keep it forever. I think it's those are great to start with.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to go balls to the wall.
So she's also saying that, or this person is saying that my girlfriend wants to use her vibrator on me.
Oh.
But I've never used one. So I'm wondering if, so, and I'm kind of like, well, what kind of genitals does this person have? Because, you know, if it's going to go in orifices, then you want to make sure you're using condoms or that it's been sterilized. And if it's not going in an orifice, you probably still want to do that. But don't put something that doesn't have like a flared base in your butt.
Right. Right. So and that's where it comes into, it'd be better if you could find a store.
Yeah.
Because then you can go over those things with people. So if it is thinking about butt stuff, making sure it has a flared base.
Yeah.
If it is for balls, then anything that vibrates is fine. Like, it doesn't matter because it's really just about vibration.
Right.
And if it's something to be inserted, then if you're going to be sharing it and you're not fluid bonded, which means you are, maybe if you have multiple partners or you're fine swapping fluids, you're fine swapping, you know, you're okay with that. Then, you'd need condoms, condom to put over it. Or if it's one of those, if you get a dildo, then here's the other rabbit hole to go down. You can get dildos that have the little vibrator that you insert. So powerful, but then sterilizing is a little easier because you could pop it out. If it's a silicone, you could pop it out and boil it, or do the bleach solution, the bleach and water.
Yep.
Because that's a little bit easier. You could do that, I guess, with a vibrating toy, but you wouldn't be able to submerge the whole toy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Put the usable part in and not the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of hard us not knowing genitals.
Yeah. But. And, like, the other thing I just want to say is, I mean, Dylan used to talk about this, is that Dylan hates vibrators. So it's okay if your girlfriend has a vibrator that she totally loves, and then you start playing with it, and you totally don't love it.
Right.
Like, that's super okay. And the other thing, too, is I think a lot of people, I know that I was guilty of this. Like, when I got my first vibrator, I assumed that because it's a vibrator that you just have to put it in you to use it. And now I have so many different ways that I can use all of my toys. You know, it might be to stimulate my nipples. It might be to, you know, like with my, well, with my magic wand, I use it to like massage my neck and shoulders all the time. But, you know, you don't have to use it in a specific way. So you can use it to like tease your inner thighs just to get turned on. And that can be the end of the game. Or you can use it, you know, if it's an, it's meant for internal, you can totally use it externally on a clit or on balls. Right. And so you get to experiment with all the different ways to use this toy. And it doesn't have to be the way that your girlfriend maybe uses the toy. And it doesn't have to be the way that maybe the toy looks like it's supposed to be used.
Right. Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, because there's things like the Terra by Lalo, which is not a beginner's thing. That's varsity, just because also the cost of it. But we recommend people, because it's a couple's vibrator. So it's meant to be inserted. And then you can be penetrated, and one part sits on your clit and the other part sits on your, you know, the G-spot. And then it rotates and you can be penetrated or you can use it alone. I think they make one with a remote. All those great things. But I always tell people, if you get it home and it didn't quite work the way you thought it would and you like butt stuff, you can stretch it out and use it as a butt toy.
Yep.
It's and it because it's perfect. It's not too big. It's it rotates. Mm-hmm. It has a flared base.
You're like, it can go all the places.
It can. And I love telling people that because their eyes get so big.
Yeah.
Because maybe we didn't have that conversation, but it's definitely something that they're interested in. So they're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, like, when it comes to two or more people using toys, there's so many options. You know, I mean, you can, like, put it between your bodies while you're kissing just so the both of you can enjoy just some vibration in your genital area without it actually going in any place. Or you can tease someone mercilessly and then end up using, like, fingers and mouth instead of the toy. So, you know, for me, toys are super fun because it's an excuse to get really curious and creative.
Right.
You know, because I know that even to this day, sometimes when I pull out a toy, I'm like, okay, I haven't had an orgasm in a couple of days, and I just really fucking want to come really fast and really quickly because I'm really busy, and so I'm just going to, like, max speed this thing and come in, like, 2 minutes, and then I'm just going to, like, go about my business. And, like, that's super okay, but I also know in the past I had this habit of using my toys the exact same way every single time. And one, that got a little bit boring, but two, I wasn't really getting to enjoy all the different ways that that toy could bring me pleasure. And so I think, like, one of the exciting things about this listener being in a place where their girlfriend wants to use her vibrator on them, it's like, you get to be super curious now and try all these different things and find all these new ways to use this toy that your girlfriend's probably been using for a while the same old way.
Right. Yeah. And that you, right, you get to make it your own.
Right.
You don't have to, I mean, besides butt stuff and not putting things in your butt without a flared base, there's a lot of things you can kind of make your own and do your own thing with. Like, I like the vibrators on nipples things too. And so I have, like, little crap bullet that I got forever ago. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? And we used it for that. I tied it to nipple clamps.
Ooh.
I found a way to, like, rope it into the chain. And so it made it, the clamps vibrate.
Nice.
It's like MacGyver.
Yeah, when Alex figured out a way to tie that wand into me last night, I was, if I had not been already out of my, like, super loopy, I would have been thoroughly impressed. But in the moment, I was just like, what's going on between my legs? But yeah, I mean, like, there's so many things you can do. It's amazing. So yeah, I just want to wish our listener good luck and report back and let us know how did it go when you actually started using the toy. And just, you know, kind of think through some basics, ask some questions. I think your advice to go to a store or even just to, like, look online and kind of learn a little bit and have those conversations will make it less scary.
Right.
And then, yeah, like, throw some lube on and have fun and see where things go. And you are allowed to not like it and you're allowed to be unsure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just remember, a lot of places don't take toys back.
That's right.
So just be, you know, I don't want you to hem and haw over it all, you know, for a year. But just when you make your purchase, make it a smart purchase that you've thought about. And not just because it's shiny or pretty or somebody go or 20 people tell you it's amazing because you can still take it home and hate it.
Exactly. I think that's so important that there can be a toy everybody's raving about and it totally doesn't work for your body and it doesn't mean you're broken or there's something wrong with you. It's just that toy doesn't work with your body. So that's cool.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So the next question, do you want to go towards a virgin, or do you want to go towards a question about trouble with orgasms?
Ooh. Let's be different and go towards the virgin.
Okay. So here we go. This person says, exploration? I love the podcast and I'm learning so much. I've gotten more confident thanks to the podcast. I'm a bisexual cisgender sophomore at Arizona State University. I'm sexually inexperienced, but curious and single. Any suggestion as to how to safely experiment and figure out what I like and test the waters, so to speak? Also, how would you suggest I even start? Thanks for your time, Bailey.
Ooh.
I know.
It's a good one.
Well, what's so funny is I have another email in the queue that's about being a virgin and how do I get started. So apparently there's, like, all kinds of people who are sexually inexperienced wanting to jump in and trying all their stuff. So let's dig in.
Let's do it.
I know. Okay.
So,
right?
It's been such a long time since and anything virgin.
Well, I mean, I think listening to podcasts like this definitely puts you ahead of most other sophomores at Arizona State University.
Definitely.
I mean, you're going to have language and words and understanding that most 19-year-olds absolutely don't have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I also think, I always say this, but I find it so important, masturbation and body discovery.
Yep.
So taking time to learn about your body and not just your anatomy, but your pleasure anatomy and how you're put together.
Yeah.
Like discovering, do I like G-spot?
Mm-hmm.
Stimulation.
Yep.
We'll only figure that out if you try to stimulate your G-spot. Do I prefer clitoral? Do I like penetration? Do I like clitoral and penetration? Do I like, you know, vulva, just outside vulva play? Or I'm sorry, am I misgendering?
No.
Okay. And all those things, but you can learn it for yourself. And it doesn't mean that, you know, everybody who you come across is going to do it the way you do it.
Right.
Do it the same. But at least you'll know, you'll have a good base for starting. Because if you can say, hey, I really love this.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I like that, but I'd like to try it. That's super helpful.
Yeah. And I feel like that really sets potential partners up for success.
Yes.
Because when you can say, oh, I really don't like it when my labia are tugged on, because you've tugged on them in lots of different ways and it just never really feels good for you, then the person you're with, if they start to do that and you can say that, are going to be like, oh, okay, cool. Then I know not to do this thing that you don't really enjoy and I'm going to feel better about not doing it. Or if you know you really like having your asshole massaged because you've done it and you can ask for that confidently, the person that you're with or the people you're with are going to be like, yes, then I'm going to do that because you like it. And that makes me look like a rock star as a lover.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know Dan Savage said something that just impressed me so much. And I'm sure he said this 100 times, but he was talking about how, you know, and this is a little heteronormative and definitely cis, but he was talking about how, like, boys come to sex being masters of their body because they've been encouraged to jerk off and masturbate, and it's kind of okay for them to be looking at porn and Playboy, and they come to sex knowing exactly how all their orgasms feel, exactly how quickly they come, what strokes feel best because they've been laying in bed every night jerking off. And girls, or folks with vulvas, kind of get the opposite treatment, where we're taught not to touch ourselves, and there's this kind of feeling that, you know, it's dirty to touch yourself, and we kind of come to sex expecting our partners to be the ones that teach us how our bodies work, and we're really at a disadvantage if we haven't been exploring ourselves, you know, and regardless of what your body is, you're at a disadvantage if you haven't explored yourself and you really don't understand even the basics of what feels good, what doesn't feel good. And even knowing kind of your arousal pattern, I think, is really helpful. You know, like, I know because I masturbated so much with so many toys when I was younger. And, like, God help my parents if they knew how many things in their house I put inside myself when I was younger.
Oh, no.
But, you know, like, I started figuring out, like, okay, my first orgasm is always kind of, like, soft and, like, pretty okay. But then if I can come back to it, my second and my third orgasms are like amazing and explosive. But my first orgasm is always just a little bit disappointing. So if I stop there, it's not me really maximizing on what my body's capable of. Right. But I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't practiced a lot.
A lot.
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah. And,
as far as meeting, like going that extra step to then partner up.
Yeah.
After you've done the exploring, I think you have to sit with yourself and decide what your end game is.
Mm-hmm.
If you are okay with going out there and exploring people and not necessarily looking for a relationship,
yep,
that's going to change how you go about looking for people to connect with.
I agree.
You are looking to explore, but you're, you know, wanting to find someone to be in a relationship before you actually do the deed and like, ta-da,
mm-hmm. yeah.
no longer being a virgin, then that's all, that's going to change the way you go about looking for people.
Right.
I remember I didn't lose my virginity until, surprisingly, I was 18.
I was even older than that. So
I was 17, 18. A lot of people, when I tell them, and then especially because I was, you know, molested when I was younger, people mm-hmm. always associate that with being losing your, like, what I consider my virginity mm-hmm. very, like, early.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I waited a really long time.
Yeah.
Because I was so uncomfortable with sex, but also very curious about sex. Mm-hmm. And I also started masturbating very early. So I knew that there was pleasure to be had.
Yeah.
I was giving myself that pleasure. And I had been watching a lot of movies in the 80s, mm-hmm. which are really fucked up because they make you think you're going to have an orgasm with every partner.
Yep.
So it was like that seeking out of that experience with mm-hmm. a partner that I didn't have for such a long time.
Yeah.
But I also moved away from I need a boyfriend to be mm-hmm. to have sex to yeah. I'm just gonna kind of go out and give blowjobs
mm-hmm.
and do things with people that I want to do things with.
Yeah.
So I think I don't know. College life is so different nowadays.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot more acceptance around just like hookup culture and having fuck buddies. Right. I know that's like a big topic for like Sex Week talks is like how to safely navigate hookups and having fuck buddies and casual sex. And so I think that's a lot more openly discussed than certainly when I was 18, 19, 20. I think to safely experiment, you know, you just have to really decide, like, what makes you feel comfortable, what makes you feel like you're honoring your boundaries in your body. So if that's using barriers like gloves and condoms and dental dams, then you get to bring those with you to the table when you start playing with others. And that, like, that's such a huge thing for me is don't ever expect someone else to be bringing the safer sex tools.
Don't expect it.
Don't expect it. Especially, you know, this person says they're bisexual. So especially just to be kind of a little heterosexist for just a minute. But young guys, in my experience, are going to do everything they can to not wear a condom.
Which includes not having one magically.
Exactly. Which includes not having one or claiming that it's been damaged or, you know, I'll pull out or whatever it is.
Or so, they're too big for the standard size.
Exactly. It doesn't feel good, which is then too bad, so sad. Then we won't play with your penis.
Right. Exactly.
But, like, come to the table with a little safer sex kit of all the things that you want to use. And if anybody gives you any crap at all about using them, then just let them know that activity is now off the table. So if it's important to you to use gloves when someone's fingering you and they're like, well, I don't really like using gloves. Well, okay, then we're not going to use our hands. So what are some other things we can do?
Right.
But bring internal condoms, bring external condoms, bring lube. God, please bring lube.
You can do, and there's a Lucky Bloke now where you can buy an array of condoms.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can buy like a selection. You don't have to buy just a box.
Yeah.
And I always have, well, I'm also allergic to latex. So I always have a couple sizes in non-latex condoms
mm-hmm.
for partners. Because one, that's even rarer if you have any kind of allergy.
Yeah.
It's even rarer that somebody's going to have a non-latex.
Right.
Gloves and or condoms. So I always have my own stuff. But then I have it in different sizes too because mm-hmm. I'm walking around with something that's, you know, not the norm for some people. Not readily available and mm-hmm. everywhere. So it helps, especially when it comes to this is too tight. I always tell people buy little single condoms if you have a place you can get them. Like we sell mm-hmm. them just free range.
Yeah.
And I tell people, oh, buy a bunch of different kinds.
Yep.
There's if you know you have like a couple partners who have bigger penises, buy the largest in all the brands.
Yep.
And then you can try them out.
Exactly.
And if one doesn't work, then you just open another one.
Yeah.
you know, and you're not wasting a whole box. So I think coming to the table, being prepared, and if anybody slut shames you for being prepared,
walk out the door.
Yep. They don't deserve it. It's time to go.
Anybody who is not cool with using your safer sex tools, or anybody who slut shames you, anybody who comments negatively about the way your body looks, that's a moment when you're just like, you know what? This isn't going to happen.
Put on your panties and leave.
And leave.
Anybody, you know, because you should also, you're bisexual, so have dental dams in your kit as well. You know, have all those things.
Yeah.
And don't be ashamed of having those things with you. I think it's also very important to be honest about where you are in your sex life.
Yes.
It may be very scary to tell people that you're a virgin, but I think that also helps gauge who you're sleeping with. If someone has a problem with it.
And also letting them know, like, what you're looking for.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's okay to say, like, hey, you're super cool, and we've been hanging out, and I think this is really great, and, you know, I haven't done these things, and I'm interested in trying them, and you seem like you might be somebody I'd like to do them with, but I'm not really looking for whatever it is, you know, on the back end of this, so what do you think?
Right.
And the more open you have that conversation, the more information you're going to get that helps you make a great decision.
Yes.
And, like, I promise the first couple of times you have that conversation, it's going to feel awkward as fuck, and you're going to totally fumble it, and you're probably going to blush, and you're probably going to have no idea exactly why you said it that way or whatever it is, and give yourself that permission to just, like, be super awkward. But as you practice it, it'll get better and it'll get easier, and all of us are awkward when we do that all the time.
We are.
Yeah.
And it also, I think that it's fair to define what kind of virgin you are, because there are virgins who are very versed in their bodies and what kind of toys they like and all these things. And they've had orgasms and they know how they orgasm. Mm-hmm. It's just they just haven't had actual intercourse.
Right.
So if that's you, it's okay to, like, lay it out there, like, look, I'm not brand new. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, the seal just hasn't been broken yet. So,
right.
It's okay to, like, lay that out there and say, like, where you are in your sex life and be confident in whatever you're saying about it. This is where the internet comes in handy. I think the internet is really great for exploring as long as you're being safe.
Yeah.
So that screening people, always meeting people in a public place for, like, coffee.
Yep. Letting friends know if you're having someone come over.
Right. And I don't like bars for very first dates.
Because
I feel like alcohol definitely, I mean, at this point now for me and dating people, I will go to a bar. But when I started out, I wouldn't, because I didn't want to be inhibited by, you know, alcohol, or be in a space that was too dark or where I couldn't see everything that was happening. So meeting at a coffee shop for coffee and letting more than one friend know where you are. And not just where you are, but I make it a point where I have to have a picture of the person, which is very handy because online.
Right.
Their name.
Yep.
Full name. Mm-hmm. If you want to meet, we got it. Like, there's things you got to give me.
Right.
And the phone number. And all that info goes to someone.
Yep.
And I let that person know. I'm not being sneaky. And I've had people go, well, why do you need a picture? Well, I don't feel comfortable. I'm like, well, then we just won't meet, because I don't feel comfortable meeting you if my husband can't have a picture of you.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Because it's like, why?
Right. Because I'm smart and I know what happens to people who don't take safety precautions.
Exactly. Because if he knows your name, and it's not your real name, but if he knows your face.
Right.
So I think all those things, and I've had some really successful exploration dates, play dates, from people I've met online. And you can even frame it that way if that's what you want. There are so many ways to go on, like, even on OkCupid, you can put, I'm interested, I don't like in casual sex, but you could even frame it in your profile that you're interested in exploring with people.
Yeah.
And you're interested in play dates. And so, and right there, that lets people know, like, hey, I'm in an exploratory place.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily looking for a relationship if that's not what you're looking for. And you may even find somebody that you can hang out with again and try things with.
Yeah, and I'll also say you can explore sexually so many ways, and it doesn't ever have to end in intercourse at all. You know, nothing has to enter your body, and you can still be having all kinds of sexual experiences like mutual masturbation or having someone just rub your clit or having someone like lick your clit or you exploring their body with your mouth or doing like dry humping or, I mean, there's like so many different things you can do, trying out some BDSM or some impact play. You get to really, really set the tone for that. And the other thing that I'll say too that I think is, I wish someone had told me this and given me this permission. Be a total asshole about your needs and your boundaries. And if, like, especially when you're new, I think this is so important. It honestly takes a lot of trying and a lot of experimenting and a lot of experiences, some of which are going to be bad and some of which are going to be good, before you really start figuring people out. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as you start feeling like something's not right or someone nudges one of your boundaries or tries to kind of step over it in a creative way or a little red flag comes up, just walk away, because there's a million other people, especially at Arizona State University. I know there's a million other people that are interested in being experimenting with you or playing with you or trying these things. And so don't tolerate anybody doing anything that you stated you don't want to do. Be just like brutal about consent and about what you want, because that's how you're going to find the people who get it.
Right. And don't ever listen. I mean, and like just backing up what you said, there are going to be times when people talk to you in a way, like I've had guys be like, you think you're going to find better. And it's like, dick is abundant and of low value.
Exactly.
And he's not putting dick down.
Right.
It's just, there are so many more.
Yeah.
It's like you're out there. So
right.
it may sometimes feel like, especially when you're starting out, it may feel like you're not gonna meet somebody and you might get anxious and you just want to get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
But trust me when I tell you, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Yep.
And if you get the red flag, don't do it. It's just, don't put yourself in there, and the chance will come.
Absolutely.
It will.
Yeah.
And so will you.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I mean, it's the most fascinating thing, because my young self never would have believed this, but like the firmer you are in your boundaries, the more confident you are about what you do want to do and what you don't want to do. And just kind of the louder you are about, here's who I am, here's what I want, here's what I'm interested in doing, here's what's not on the table. People are going to super respect that, because they're going to feel more confident about the sex that's going to happen or the exchange that's going to happen, in knowing that, one, what they're doing is something you do want, and they're not going to be worried about like, oh shit, what if she regrets this tomorrow? Or what if I'm not clear on something, but I don't know how to ask, because you've been really clear. And it's also going to make them feel like a rock star, in that like, if you say, hey, I want to try these three things and just these three things, and that person goes, well, cool, I know how to do those three things. Mm-hmm. Both of you leave satisfied.
Right.
You know, and I think like the other thing I just want to say too is like, it's okay to be really disappointed if shit just doesn't work the way you thought it would. Or if you said, hey, I want to try this thing, and you do the thing, and afterwards you're kind of like, oh, I really don't think I liked that, or something about that just felt really weird. Like, it's okay to have regrettable sex. It's okay to like make mistakes. It's okay to be really disappointed in how something unfolded. Like, that happens.
And it's how you learn.
Exactly.
The mistakes you make are the lessons you learn. And I always look back on things, and you know, you say to yourself like, oh, I wish that didn't happen. And I stopped saying that, because mm-hmm. I realized it happened, and it gave me something.
Yeah.
Like I always pick something up from those mistakes, and it makes you better. It makes you better at knowing yourself and knowing situations.
Yeah.
And finding what you like. I would not be anywhere close to finding somebody perfect for me.
Uh-huh.
My second perfect person, because I'm poly and I'm my husband. I don't, you know,
that's right.
Him out. But to find that person that I need to fulfill these needs, mm-hmm. if I wouldn't have gone through all these other people and things and scenarios.
Right. Exactly.
So it's okay for trial and error.
Yeah, totally. And it's okay to like say no to someone after you've said yes to them. You know, it's okay to find somebody that you're really interested in. Maybe you're on Tinder or whatever, or you're like out at a party at ASU because ASU has no shortage of parties. And, you know, if you're out at a party and you meet somebody and they seem really cool and you like hook up or whatever, and afterwards they're really enthusiastic to see you again, but for you, it just didn't really work. It's super okay to let them know, like, I really appreciate the time that we spent together. I'm not sure this is a good fit for us. You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm not interested in doing this again. And it's okay to, you know, you don't have to keep doing something with somebody just because you've already done it with them once.
Right. Exactly.
There's like no obligation there. Oh my gosh, we are already at an hour.
Oh no.
I know. We're amazing.
We're amazing.
Yeah.
So much.
Yes. So, okay. So I just want to tell all of our listeners that, of course, I love getting your questions. There's so many questions in the backlog that I'm really excited to get to. So you can go to sexgetsreal.com. You can get the link to Victoria Rosa's open relationship webinar. You can get the link to the summit that I'm a part of, the Love Detox Summit. I would super love your support on those. You can also send in emails to the podcast at sexgetsreal.com. And if you've got anything you want me to pass along to Lola, please let me know. And Lola, I would love for you to tell everybody, how can they stay in touch with you or find all the cool stuff that you do or hear your podcast, because you do a really cool show. So let's tell the people who you are, where you are.
Who I am. So I am the creator, producer, and host of the live sex ed Q&A/Gogo review, Sex Ed a Gogo, in New York. And we record that show once a month and also air it as a podcast. So if you don't live in New York and you can't make it out to Otto's Shrunken Head every first Thursday of the month, then you can listen to us on swingset.fm. We're on the Swingset Network. You can also listen to our backlog of episodes on our website, sexedagogo.com. I am often tweeting about my life and sex and everything on Twitter at Dirty Lola. I also, you can follow the show at Sex at a Go-Go, but that's more me just tweeting stuff about the show and things we have coming up. It's less salacious.
Yes.
Yes.
And we like salacious around these parts.
Yes, we do. So yeah, that's how you can get in touch with me. If you want, you can also email me at lola@sexedagogo.com. I also will be happy to talk and answer questions, and I answer questions on my show as well.
So yes,
I have a mailbag that I pull questions from.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if you want, go
I'll
ahead.
Be at Catalyst Con.
Oh yeah.
Up. Yeah, that's when
April. Yeah.
April 1st. It starts on April Fool's Day. I'll be at Catalyst Con doing a version of my show to welcome everybody to Catalyst Con if you're new. Or coming there alone and just want something to do on a Thursday night. And I'm also doing another version of the show without Gogo, for CCon Studio. So if you're there, I get to talk to Jessica Drake.
Oh my God. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And Andy from Good Vibes, Educator Andy.
Oh yeah.
Good Vibes Toys. So they're going to be part of the Pussy Posse.
Oh,
for CCon Studio. I know, I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so I've been trying to get Jessica on the show for a couple of months, and I finally got in touch with her manager, and we're hopefully going to get something worked out in the next couple of weeks. But I'm so excited that you get to talk to her and have her on the show, because she's awesome.
She is awesome. I've met her before, and she's super, super sweet. And she's doing like a couple, I think she's doing a couple things at Catalyst. I know she's doing at least one panel. Mm-hmm. So it's really, I'm really, really happy that I get to have her as part of Sex at a Go-Go. So she's that's like going to be amazing.
She's obscenely gorgeous. It's literally obscene.
But she's so just genuine and lovely, and she gives wonderful hugs. And she's, it's all those things that you, when you see someone, and we always have that stereotype of people that are so beautiful and that they're not nice.
Yeah.
She's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did. Tristan Taramino's sex educator boot camp out at Catalyst in LA last year, and Jessica was in there, and she was just like so gracious and asked terrific questions and was really engaged with the room, and I was just like really impressed with her.
Yeah And she does a lot of good work.
Yes.
She works with a lot of organizations and things, so
Yay.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yay for like amazing, beautiful porn stars who put out really good work and do amazing things. Like,
right.
Yay porn.
Busting down those stereotypical doors.
That's right.
Yes.
Yay. Okay. Well, Lola, thank you so much for being here. I would love to have you back on the show like in the super near future because I just adore you so much and you're so fun and I love your stuff. Yay. So yeah, thank you for being here. And thank you to all of our listeners. Be sure to go to sexgetsreal.com for all those juicy links. I'll also have contact information for Lola on the page for this episode. And I will talk to you next week. This is Dawn Sarah with Sex Gets Real, and I will see you soon. Bye.